Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender coming to you on a Saturday morning. Unusual for me to make a weekend video. I'm here from the laundry room in front of my trusted washer and dryer back here. I just want to take this opportunity. No, I want to create this opportunity to thank every one of you for supporting this work. This amazing, astounding grassroots work. I love broadcasting from humble places like a laundry room or my car or my yard or the cemetery because this entire operation is a grassroots operation. It's organic. It's fueled by the spirit. It's fueled by a burning desire I've had for 30 years to dispel the falseness about God in the world and to bring the truth. And I could not do that without you. That sounds like a cliche. I've said that many times, but it's just the facts. It's the truth. I'm one guy, but behind me is an army of people who care that the Word of God goes forth, that the truth still has a voice, and you have supported me with your emails, with your encouragement. You've sent me financial support, and I've often told you whenever I've written you that you're backing the right horse. That sounds audacious, and it doesn't sound very humble, but it is. It really is. I'm astounded at this work that God has thrust me into. Like you, every day is a struggle because we are being opposed by spiritual forces of wickedness because Satan does not want the truth going forward. I'm going to talk to you about that on Wednesday night, this Wednesday, April 18th in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to addressing those people there. It's always great when you get amongst people. I make these videos by myself, staring at a phone, walking around the cemetery alone. And so it's so encouraging for me to come see you. And I'm looking forward to that on Wednesday. I don't know why God put me in this position. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that somebody is in this place to be able to do this. It's like Jesus said concerning the testimony when he was on earth. Jesus said, if you silence me, the rocks and stones will declare the truth. God will never leave himself without a testimony. And he uses the most humble, nondescript, low-key in a way, grassroots people, things, and circumstances. And I don't exaggerate when I call you an army. And I'm not just being patronizing when I say that this thing keeps going because of you. When I started this work full-time back in 1993, sorry, I got the bedroom hair going on here. I just woke up not too long ago. My hair's out of control, but I enjoy that too. I remember telling my wife, saying that it was a very scary thing, very scary to be quitting a job with the United States Postal Service, to step out and do something that I knew I was passionate for. I loved to write. I'd already been published. I'd already written essays for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the Chicago Tribune. But I wanted to use my passion for writing, and I wanted to meld it with my passion for God and the truth. And many of you may have heard me say this before, but I remember distinctly. This actually happened. I looked in the mirror one day and I said, I mean, most of us do things because we need to make a living. We need money. We need to survive. But I got all that, put all that behind me, and I just, talking to myself in the mirror, listen, kid, if you could do whatever you wanted to do, money aside, without worrying about supporting your family, without worrying about paying your bills, what would you do? And I knew what I would do. If I really could do it, I would promote the truth. I would use my writing talents and my passion for truth to, for the rest of my life, spend my youth, and I was 30 something at the time, publishing the truth about God. I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to have this retirement mentality where I would spend my strongest years, my most invigorating years, doing something like working for the Postal Service, and then when I retire, I would then spend my declining years, so-called, promoting God. I wanted to do it in my vigor. I wanted to do it in my youth. But it was scary, very scary. And I remember telling my wife, and she was like, this is really rough. I mean, are you really going to do this? And I said to her, look, I just know that there are people out there that God has planned for us to meet, that we're destined to meet, people who are destined to hear the truth and, relatively speaking, would not hear the truth unless I take this step out in faith and start doing what God is putting in me to do. It was a total Field of Dreams moment. Well, this was 1993. The Field of Dreams was made, the film was made in 1988, but I don't think I had seen it yet. But looking back on it, it was a pure, if you build it, they will come moment. And at the time, I had no subscribers. At the time, I was writing a little paper called, what was it called? It was very boring and very pseudo something. It was called Food for Thought. I had 10 people I was sending it to. That was mainly my family and my extended family. And I told her that I just know that there's other people out there, but in order to reach them, we have to step out in faith. We have to build the field first. And if you are familiar with the movie, Ray Kinsella had to build the field. He had to go for it. He had to tear down his cash crop, which was the equivalent of me quitting my job, well-paying job at the Postal Service, and starting to write without knowing for sure what would happen. It was a total step out in faith. And I'm not saying that in a boastful way. I'm just saying that this is how it was. And when I see what God has done in the last 25 years, it just astounds me. You were out there. You were being prepared for the truth, just as I was prepared for the truth, just as people before me stepped out and with the Spirit of God testified to the great truths that we know and we love, the truth of the salvation of all, the sovereignty of God, the truth of the two evangels, the truth about the eons, that God is working through periods of time. I wouldn't have known these things myself if there weren't faithful men and women who had gone before me, that I just saturated myself with their understanding, with their teaching, with their cassette ministries, with their books. And it's astounding to me that now I'm in the same position as those people who went before me, who brought me into the truth. And I never tell anyone to please send me money to support this work. I have occasionally made my needs known. The church doesn't do it this way, do they? They put a law on their people called the tithe, and they steal a passage from the Old Testament, and they take it out of context, the tithe, and they say, now, you must give, if you care at all, you must give this ministry 10% of your labors. That is absurd. That is ridiculous. I would never do anything that way, because this entire outreach is based on a grassroots, from the heart, from the spirit, giving from people, whether it's financially or emotionally or spiritually. I am carried. I am buoyed up. I am encouraged by you. And this video today is a corporate thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping this work to continue. I honestly believe we're in the home stretch. And I honestly believe that I'm not the only one that can do this work. I'm not the only one now doing this work. There are others out there promoting this truth, and I thank God for them. God, if I was the only guy, it would be a terrible situation, but I'm not. There are others, and I thank God for anyone who's heralding it. And I always encourage people who are frustrated, say, Martin, what can I do? I encourage people to put your own blog out there, make your own YouTube channel. All you got to do is turn on a camera, start talking, and put it on YouTube. It's an amazing tool God has given us in these final years of Millennium 6 to promote that truth. And it is a step out in faith. And yes, once you do this, you do have a target on your back. Satan doesn't want this going out. And when there's so few people doing it, it's very easy to target those people. But I am sustained by your prayers, by your love, by your motherly care for me. And I've been kind of bad at correspondence because I really feel overwhelmed sometimes. I feel overwhelmed emotionally. I feel overwhelmed, like the world is just crushing. Satan is crushing. It feels oppressive many, many times. You know that I wrestle with depression, and some days I'm barely making it. But I think that the best testimonies go out from people when they are up against the wall and when they are being oppressed. And I've often told you, I said, don't wait until you reach this, what you think is a pinnacle of happiness or strength. Don't wait until that moment to do something. Don't wait until you're the most eloquent. Don't wait until you think you're polished enough to present the truth, because God really does show off his power in human weakness. And the day I realized that was a great day, and that gave me courage. It gave me a courage to not worry about looking stupid, or to not worry about being made fun of, not worry about being looked down on. And I never worried about not being able to do it as well as someone else. Many people can do it better than me, but a lot of those people aren't doing anything, because it's like the couple who loves each other. You get a man and a woman, and they're in high school, and they love each other, they graduate, and they think that they have to have all their ducks lined up before they marry. Well, she has to finish school. He has to get a better job. They have to make sure they have a house first. They have to have all these things set up before they do something, before they consummate their love with one another and marry. And I've always discouraged people from doing that. If you love each other, then be together. Do it. Get married. You don't have to wait, because you're stronger together. Whatever you think you need to do, whatever the world tells you you need to do, you need to have more money, you need to have a better education, you need a nicer car, you need a house. No. And you know, I'm against the retirement mentality thing, where finally, when I retire, I can do what I want to do. That's fear-based. You're afraid that you have to have the nest egg. Oh, that's another thing I hate. Do you think I have a nest egg? I don't have anything. I never waited to have enough before I went out to do my passion, because that's not God's way. God gives you sustenance as you go. He gives you sustenance in your passion, and you do what you love, and the support will come. You build the field, and they will come. You step out in faith, and you jump off the cliff, trusting that God will build you a pair of wings on your way down. And that is what God has done with me, and I'm astounded by it. I don't brag about it. If this is construed as any kind of boast, then God help the people who think that, because it is absolutely not true. I thank God for this way that I can talk to you. I thank God for this line of communication. I'm happy that I'm going to see you personally in North Carolina on Wednesday. I hope many of you decide to come. If you have to drive 8, 10, 9 hours, Dean and Amy Wilkinson are going to be driving 8 hours, maybe 9, to get there just for one night, to see the saints, to be together with people. This is so organic, everything God has been doing. All right, I didn't mean for this to be long-winded, but I love you all, and I really am sorry in my heart if I'm not the best personal correspondent, but it doesn't mean I don't love and appreciate everything you have done for me. And I hope to encourage others to take this message and publish it in any way you can. And I would love for anybody to do this better than me. I'm not trying to be at the top of anything. People are like that when they lust for power, when they want power. The only way they can feel powerful is if they're above and other people are down. That's the only way they can feel powerful or influential, is to set themselves up. In fact, I remember somebody told me years ago, it was 1996 or something, Robert Allen at the time, was a black minister in Newport News, Virginia, and he's very energetic and very, some would say, Pentecostal, and he had knowledge of the eons, and somebody said, "Martin, you better watch out. Pastor Robert Allen, he's making a run for the top." And I thought that it was the most ridiculous thing I could hear. It's like, what do you mean? Like, I have this position that I'm trying to protect, and if anybody's trying to get my position, then I'm going to feel threatened. It's ridiculous. It's not about that. You remember when Paul was in jail, and there were people who were trying to take advantage of Paul being off the scene so that they could now increase their ministry, so that they could get one up on Paul. And people were warning Paul, "These guys are taking some of your converts, Paul." And Paul says, "Who cares?" The fact that anybody would think that way really exposes their heart. We're not competing to be the best. We're not competing here to be the most influential. We want the truth out, and it doesn't matter who does it. Absolutely doesn't matter. People say, "Martin, can I cut and paste your work and send it to somebody?" Yes, you can. You can take any of my videos, even my writing, and you can put it out there, okay? I'm not, like, protective of it to the point that this is my exclusive writing. I want you to share it. Rise up. Take this truth. I didn't invent this truth. I didn't invent it. Bullinger didn't invent it. A. E. Nock didn't invent it. Not even Paul invented it. God gave it to him. It's a gift. And what has been given to me, I give out freely. And you're able to use it and send it out freely. I'm tempted to say, even put your name on it. I don't care. I used to care. I really did. I used to care to protect my intellectual property. I don't care anymore. I just want this truth out. These are desperate days, if you want to look at it relatively. Satan is opposing us. Satan doesn't want the truth out. I do, and I want it out by any means possible. So I'm of the same spirit of Paul, who would say, whether by hook or crook, the truth is getting out. I really feel sorry for the motives of some people. If someone's motive is to be top of the heap, or they want to say, "Well, I'm going to get more subscribers than Martin Zender," have at it. I hope you do get more subscribers than Martin Zender. I would celebrate it. I'd probably feel a little sense of competition, but good. We'd be upping each other's game, right? In the long run, in the end, I just want this truth out there. And if any of us are put down, if Satan destroys any of us, the rocks and stones themselves will declare God's work. And I pray that as I have strength, for as long as I have strength, for as long as I have passion, I pray that God continues to use this work all over the world. And I get letters like, you would not believe. Martin, your work changed my life. Martin, I gave a video to my wife and she gets it now. My kids, my 13-year-old is listening to you and he's getting the truth because you don't sound like any other pastor. You don't sound like a tele-evangelist. And this is because of you. I get the accolades. I get the people writing me, and I should just publish every single letter I get, but I don't have the energy for it, but it's really what I should do to let you know that here's the fruit of your work. Here's the fruit. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people have gotten the truth because of my heralding, because you, my subscribers, my friends, my fellow members of the body of Christ, you have enabled me to do this work. And I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I thank God for you. I thank God that we're in this together. I'd be so lonely, so distraught. I'd be uber depressed without you. But with you, we can continue this until the snatching away of the body of Christ. And honestly, may it be today.